Life podcast. We truly hope you'll be inspired and challenged today. Now, let's dive into this message with the family at Pleasant Ridge.
So we've been spending some time going through what God's Word has to say concerning certain things about God's will for our life. And God has been very specific outlining some of those things and telling us exactly what the will of God is for our lives. A few of those things that we've looked at so far, one of them was the fact that we would believe on the Son. The other one was the fact of that when we should be rejoicing always, praying always, giving thanks in every circumstance. We also looked at that we should be doing good in our relationship with the government. And last week we focused in on that it is God's will for our life that we abstain from sexual immorality. And so today we're going to be looking at another passage of scripture here out of 1 Peter. And here, 1 Peter, he gives us some things concerning how we handle injustice and how we handle suffering. Have you ever had this happen to you in your life? Maybe you've said these exact words. That's not, help me out, fair. Or, I don't deserve this. Right? What do we do in those moments? What do we do? How do we handle the injustice that comes into our lives or the suffering that comes into our lives? What should we be doing? Well, let's take a look here, and we're going to note what Peter says that we should be doing or how we should be handling the injustice that happens in our lives. Now, this passage comes right on the heels of what we looked at with how we handle our relationship with government, that we are to submit to those that are in authority over us. And Peter continues that thought of how we handle the suffering that takes place. Now, no doubt, these believers, they were going through some suffering in their life, maybe at the hands of government leaders, as we looked at a few weeks ago. But also, he talks about the relationship with their masters. And these were servants, and the relationship with their servants. And they were having periods where they were suffering for injustice and things that they were doing. And so Peter's going to try to help us. Now, there are some things that happen in our lives. There's all kinds of different kinds of suffering, but Peter actually rules one of those types of sufferings out. Because if you look at verse number 20, he talks about this. He says, for what credit is it when you sin and are beaten for it? You endure, right? Now, granted, like if you're driving down the road and you're speeding, you're going criminal speed, right? You're excessively speeding and you get pulled over. That's not injustice. That's not you suffering. That's because you were stupid and going really fast and you get a ticket, okay? So deal with it, right? Don't be like complaining and no, you're suffering for that. And it's not that like, oh, I had to endure getting a ticket. No, it's fine. So that's not the type of suffering he's talking about. He's talking about the suffering that may happen because you are doing good, but then something happens and things take place and you suffer for doing good. So how do we respond to these things? Do we respond in anger, revenge, sharp words for self-justification? Retaliate in the form of passive-aggressive behavior? Respond with half-hearted work or responsibility? Or do we give into the thought that maybe God has forgotten me and he's just going to leave me here in my suffering and I become bitter? What is God's will for our lives concerning these things? Peter is going to answer that question for us. And what Peter is going to do is he's going to draw in the gospel to our eyes and help us clearly see how we are supposed to live in the face of injustice and suffering in our lives, and we are called to live a different type of way. And so this is what I want you to take away with you today. God's will for my life is that I follow Jesus when I'm unjustly treated or going through suffering. God's will for my life is that I follow Jesus when I'm unjustly treated or going through suffering. So let's break down this passage here and see some things that will help us how to handle injustice and suffering. Now notice what Peter says here, verse 18. He says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust." When Peter was writing this, he was writing to servants. Now these servants were individuals that were owned by masters. Now, they were not like slaves. They were different from slaves in the fact that they were house servants. These house servants, more than, sometimes they probably were brought into that servitude because they gave themselves over to that because they had a debt that they had to pay. Maybe their debt was so excessive that they were never going to come out of servitude in that sense. But they were owned by another individual, and they were in the house. Now, sometimes these house servants were actually educated. Some of them were doctors, lawyers, craftsmen, tradesmen. But they were under the authority of another. They were owned by another. And they were slaves. These servants had found themselves, though, in situations where they were being unjustly treated by their masters. And in that sense, they were suffering. Now, from what Peter makes mention of here about the masters in verse 18, some of these masters were good and gentle, but some of them were unjust. They were cruel. The word that Peter uses there of unjust has the idea of being crooked. They were crooked in how they handled the person. They were crooked in their dealings with them. They were crooked in how that they dealt with them. And he says, so some of them were good and gentle, but he's talking about the ones that are unjust. And day by day, I'm sure that probably these servants, as they were serving in the house and going through things, you know, they have their master and how that they treated them, and they're just going, is this ever going to end? Is this ever going to end? I'm sure their hope is crushed in thinking of how I'm being dealt with. The suffering servant really had no legal rights at all. No one to make right the wrongs. And if you ran away during this time, if you were a runaway slave, we hear about one of the slaves that ran away, Onesimus, right? Paul meets him in prison and sends him back to his master, Philemon. And he tells him, he says, he's a Christian now, treat him good, right? Do good to him. But if you were a runaway slave during this time and you got caught, the punishment for that was crucifixion. So there you are. You're serving at the hands of an unjust master. Day by day going through this and you're going, what's the use? And so maybe, possibly, the way that these servants possibly behaved, you know, go do this for me, and they would do it half-heartedly. Maybe they would talk back. Maybe they would say things, right? Whatever it may be. But Peter says here, he says, you need to act a different way because these people were believers. They knew Christ. And he says, Christ calls you to a different way of living and how to handle injustice and suffering. So how are we supposed to respond when we go through suffering or injustice? We have to ask ourselves that question because Peter isn't just writing to servants. Because look at verse 21 here. He says, for to this you have been called. This is God's will. You have been called to this because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. And so Peter says this is an issue of believers following the call of the Lord on their life, and we must respond in the right way. And so what should we do? Well, number one, we should follow Jesus by submitting fearfully. Follow Jesus by submitting fearfully. Now, the way that Peter writes this in verse 18. Other translations read the word respect. It's the word fearfully. But when we think about the word submit there, that's a hard word, to submit. If you remember a few weeks ago when we talked about our role with the government, we are supposed to submit to those that have authority over us. It's the idea that we place ourselves under the authority of another. It's a military term. And so we are placing ourselves under the authority of another. And Peter tells these believers, these servants, he says, you need to submit to even those who are treating you unjustly. Not just to the gentle and the good, but to those that are treating you unjustly, those that are treating you in a crooked way. But he tells them here, he says that we are to submit fearfully, with all respect, he says. The same is today in the workplace for believers. If you're an employee, you have an employer over you. You have somebody who is an authority over you. And God's will for our life is that we are to submit to those that are over us. God places authority over us in our lives. Nobody is without authority, right? Even Jesus Christ submitted to whom? The Father, right? So there is these, we have this authority in our life. And God's will for our lives is that we submit to even those that have authority, like the employee, the employer to the employee, right? We should be submitting to that. And so we are called to submit ourselves to the good and gentle employer and even the unjust employer with all respect. Now, if you're already thinking right now, but Mike, you don't know my employer. He is a dirty, rotten, blah, blah. He is unjust in his ways. He's crooked. He does this. He does that. He does all of this stuff. Time out. Peter's not telling you to submit with respect because of who he is. Remember that word there, respect, has to do with fear. Okay? All authority comes from whom? God. And so who do we ultimately submit ourselves to? God. And so that fear, that respect, the reason why we submit is not because that person deserves it. No, it's because of who God is. And we submit ourselves to God, even in the midst of working for somebody who is crooked in their ways, who is unjust in their ways. Now, please don't misunderstand this, because in the call to be subject to those in authority over us, we need to show respect. That's included in submission. But we don't respect because of the worthiness of the man. We respect because of the worthiness of our God who calls us into situations that are beyond our control. Now, I get it. I've worked for individuals that were unjust. And I think in our culture today, a lot of things that we do, you know, we might be working at a job and it might be difficult, it might be hard. And the very first thing that we want to do is to leave. Could it be that God has placed you in that place so that that way you would be a testimony of how a Christian actually handles injustice and suffering? Because people are watching us, right? And Peter tells him, he says, hey, look, you're not going to run away. You're not going to try to dodge all this stuff. He says, no, you submit with all respect. And so we need to follow Jesus by submitting fearfully. These believers were chosen and called by God as slaves to live a life of serving others. But in their service of others, they did not ultimately belong to that master, whether good or bad. They belong to the living God. And he says, you need to submit with all respect, with all fear in all of that. Because God has chosen them. He's called us, right? I mean, even if you just read through 1 Peter, like in chapter 2, verse number 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so God brings things into our lives for a certain purpose and a certain reason. And sometimes we're placed in situations where it's hard and it's difficult. But what does God want us to do? He wants us to submit with all respect, to submit fearfully. And we follow Jesus in all of that. Now, sometimes there will be situations where you should not submit. We talked a little bit about that with our role with the government. If government is asking us to do things that go contrary to what Scripture teaches, right? We have the right to disobey, right, and follow God. And I believe that's the same here, that if there are situations that you might find yourself in a job where a boss or an employer is asking you to do something that is wrong, that is criminal, right? You have every obligation to do what is right and not to go along with what they are asking. And so there are those types of situations. But in all situations, in the fact of our relationship, when we are having injustice or suffering, we need to follow Jesus by submitting fearfully. Let's look at a second thing here. Look what he says here in verse number 19. Now, these next set of verses are really hard here, okay? Here's these believers who are called to submit. They're called to submit to their unjust masters. And while they're submitting, it's bringing pain and suffering. Nowhere are we promised in Scripture that if we submit to those who are unjust, that we will be spared pain and suffering. That's prosperity teaching. That's prosperity type of gospel type stuff. And so Peter calls these servants and calls us to faithful suffering. So follow Jesus by suffering faithfully. Now listen to these verses here. Verse 19. For this is a gracious thing. What is a gracious thing? When you are mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. It is a gracious thing in the eyes of God that when you are going through suffering and you are mindful of Him as you are going through that suffering. For what credit is it when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. And think about this, even in the workplace, right? Maybe something's happening. Maybe you know that there's something that shouldn't be happening and you report it. And then you end up suffering because you're trying to do what's good. God says that that's a gracious thing that you're going through that. I think even as a believer, right? When believers stand up for truth, believers stand up for what is right, and we speak out against the evil, and then we suffer for that. That's a gracious thing. These things are hard. Does anybody want to go through suffering? Put your hand down. None of us do. None of us is like, sign me up. Yeah, my spiritual gift, suffering for Jesus. No, okay? No, none of us like to do that. None of us want to go through that. Even the Apostle Paul said, I bear in my body the marks, right? The marks of his suffering that he went through in following Jesus. Nobody wants to go through suffering. And so Peter is going to try to help us see that suffering, and when we go through that suffering, how we react to that suffering is what matters in all of that, okay? Because he tells us we don't score any brownie points for suffering if we do things that are wrong, right? You're beaten for it, you endure. We don't score brownie points. But notice what he says here. Okay, Peter is focusing on the issue of unjust suffering for the sake of doing good. If we endure while, look, notice this phrase, being mindful of God, that is a gracious thing in the sight of God. What does that mean to be mindful of God? To be mindful of God in the face of unjust suffering isn't just remembering that God exists, It's not going in the sense of like, you're going through a difficult time and you're like, well, God, I know that you're going to be there with me. Or God, I know that you're there, right? He's not talking about that, okay? Peter wants to try to help us here in this morning, and to be mindful of God is to remember that your faith that you have in God, it's that faith that you recall that you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ. You belong to him. Because of your faith in Jesus, I believe this changes everything. Let me show you three quick ways that we can be mindful of God. And Peter kind of talks about these in other places here out of 1 Peter, okay? Flip with me over to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 7. Look what he says here. He says, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so to be mindful of God during these times of suffering will be that you are enduring suffering by remembering that trials test the genuineness of your faith. And notice what Peter says, how that will be revealed at the coming of Jesus Christ. There are believers all over the world that are going through intense, extreme suffering right now. And you know what? Nobody's going to give them an award right now. Nobody's clapping for them right now. But when Jesus Christ returns, it will be revealed. And that's something that we can be mindful of even when we are going through suffering in our life, unjust treatment. We need to remember, be mindful of God, that I'm going through this, I'm enduring through this to test the genuineness of my faith. It's going to come out. It's going to be revealed. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 13. Look what he says here. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so we need to be mindful of God, and that will, while we're going through suffering, by being mindful of God, we will set our hope on the grace of Jesus Christ. When we think of grace, what is that? What is grace? We all have been given grace. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, not the gift of God, right? Grace is something that we don't deserve. We all deserve hell. But what has happened? Jesus has rescued us, right? He has saved us. By his grace, we have been saved. And so when we're going through suffering, when we're going through trials, when we're going through difficulty, what we must do is we must be mindful of God. We must set our minds on the hope of Jesus Christ. Knowing is what Peter says here, the grace that will be brought to you again. When? At the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know what we're waiting for? We're waiting for Christ. And when Christ returns, what is he going to reveal? He's going to reveal his grace. He's going to reveal all this stuff. He will set everything right. Let's look at a third one. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 19. Look what Peter writes here. He says, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spots. And so we need to be mindful of God, and we do this as we're enduring suffering by reminding ourselves that God promises to take care of those lambs that Jesus has bought by his own blood. Jesus has bought us and purchased us with his own blood. You belong to him. And so even though we're going through suffering, We can be mindful of God, knowing that he has purchased us. He's purchased us from those futile ways of us living in sin, living apart from God, and he's brought us unto himself, and we belong to him. That's how we endure suffering. We don't endure suffering by running away. We endure suffering by setting our hope, by setting our minds on God. And so when we are put in a position where we are suffering unjustly, if we remember and rehearse what Scripture teaches us, what is this doing? This is renewing our minds. This is going over and over and over of what Scripture says, the truths of what Scripture says, so that way it gives us great confidence and great hope that we can endure anything that happens into our lives, even unjust suffering in our lives. Now, Peter's going to get to the bigger picture in all of this. Okay? Remember, this is what we are called to do. This is the will of God for our life. Now, let's look here at verse number 21. Okay? Thirdly, follow Jesus by following his steps. In our suffering and injustice, we can endure because God calls us to follow the example of Christ. This is the big picture. This is what he really wants us to see. He wants us to see the gospel in all of this. It is the call to allow the gospel to shape us. And when we talk about the gospel, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? It's the fact that Jesus has died for our sins. He was buried and he resurrected. It's the fact that we have placed our faith in Jesus because Jesus took the penalty and the punishment for our sins on the cross. Christ suffered the wrath of God for us so that a way we could be forgiven. That's good news. That's the gospel. And he wants that to help us to be conformed to the image of Jesus in every area of our life. Now look at verse 21 here. For to this you have been called, God's will, right? Because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. The word Peter uses for example is the word copy. Making a copy or following in somebody's steps. I remember as a kid growing up in Albuquerque, we used to go, there's a place out there, it's Mount Taylor, it's in Grants, New Mexico. They used to mine uranium out there back in the early 50s and 60s. But there's an area out there where you can go and cut down your own Christmas tree. And so we remember going down out there in the wintertime, and the snow was deep. And you know, here's my dad, you know, he's got the saw. He's making his way. And here's my brother, me, and my sister. And what are we doing? Whoop, whoop, right? Whoop, going right in those same steps where my dad has made the path. Peter tells us that we need to follow Christ's steps. Where did Christ go? He went to the cross, didn't he? And so God's will for our life, where does it end up? Death to self. Is that not what Jesus tells us to do? Take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself, follow me. He tells us to do that. You and I have been called to copy what we have seen and heard in the life of Jesus. And so if we have forgotten what that looks like, Peter then kind of shows us and reminds us of the gospel, of what that looks like. And he takes us back to the suffering Savior. Look at verses 22 through 23. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Have you ever heard the statement, or maybe you've maybe even used it before? Why do bad things happen to good people? You know, that's only happened once. Jesus is the only one that is good. And he had something really, really bad happen to him. He was crucified. We're not good, okay? So Jesus is the only one that something good, something bad has happened to someone who is good, okay? The truth is, Jesus calls us to follow his steps. So if we've been called to follow Jesus in unjust suffering, what does that look like? Well, Peter's going to try to help us here, okay? Number one, I will not criticize or insult back. So on the job, maybe you see your boss and he comes up to you and he says, "Hey, can you work some extra hours this weekend?" And you're like, "Yeah, I guess I can." And you see your boss dumping all this extra work on you, but the other guys that work there at the job, they don't have to do anything. And he actually rewards them. Ever happened that to you? Maybe there's a situation where you're getting punished for something that you did not do. You're taking the blame for something that you didn't do, right? Whatever it may be. Bible tells us, God's word tells us that when we go through this, what are we going to do? We will not criticize or insult back. That's God's will for our life, because that's what Jesus did. He did not criticize or insult back. Secondly, I will not threaten. "Well, you don't know." I'm not going to threaten. Jesus didn't threaten. He laid aside his rights. When Jesus suffered, he did it perfectly. Thirdly, I will allow God to be the judge and to give justice. Scripture says he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. To entrust yourself to God. To know that God is the one that will bring true justice. So we have decisions that we have to make. These servants, they couldn't make the decision of, "Well, I'm going to just go work so-and-so other person over there." No. If they left, I mean, if they ran away, it was death. We have decisions that we can make. Sure, yeah, we can go over here. We can move jobs, change jobs, do this, do that. We can make those decisions. But has God placed us there for a purpose? Are the difficulties that we're going through for a purpose, for a reason? Again, nobody likes suffering. But could it be that God is calling you so that a way you could be very effective in displaying the gospel to others as you're going through any type of suffering? Now, Peter's going to sum all this up, because if we start to think about ourselves that we're thinking too highly of ourselves, okay, or start having a pity party, you know, woe is me type thing, Peter's going to sum this up in verse 24 and 25. And our hope to do these things is only because of what Christ did for us. Look what he says here in verse 24 and 25. He, Jesus himself, bore our sins in his body on the tree. So he's calling us to live a certain way, but then he goes back and he says, Jesus is your example because he bore your sins on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. You see, Peter reminds us of the reality of suffering. It was Jesus who suffered for our sin unjustly. He did not deserve it. And so when we start thinking, you know, in ourselves, right, like, "Man, I don't deserve this," look at Jesus. Look what Jesus went through. Let him be your example in everything. Out of his love for us, in order to claim a people for God, Jesus took our sins upon himself on the cross. He was judged by God and punished by God for our sin. And notice the way Peter words this. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. The death of Christ on the cross is what satisfied the justice of God. It satisfied what God demanded as a payment for our sin. God was satisfied with Jesus' death for your sin. And Jesus is the one who helps us. Jesus is the one who teaches us. Jesus is the one who conforms us even to his own image. Paul said it very well, didn't he? That I might be conformed to his death, even the death on a cross. Paul says, I have no rights. I don't belong. The only person I belong to is the Lord. And if that means that I go through suffering, if that means that I go through hardships and difficulty, I want my life to look like the Lord's. And I die to myself. We can have great confidence before God because notice what Peter says here in verse 25. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Although you and I were wandering from God like straying sheep, Jesus came and suffered and died to win us back. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you're one of his own? Do you believe that you're part of the sheepfold? Do you believe that he is the good shepherd? Do you believe that he is the one who leads you in and out where you will find pasture and rest for your souls? Is Jesus the shepherd? Or is it, I don't deserve this. This isn't fair. Look towards Jesus. He suffered immensely and greatly for our sin. He suffered unjustly for our sin. He didn't deserve it. And so when we find ourselves in that place, we can know that this is the will of God, that I follow Christ in unjust suffering and all of that. So when we're tempted to say, I don't deserve this, so this isn't fair, remember Jesus and what he did by looking to Jesus, and we can faithfully walk through that suffering with endurance and hope and all of that. Let's pray together.
If you're interested in more information about our church or knowing the peace that Jesus gives, visit our website at lifeattheridge.church.